Today on the Covenant Eyes podcast, we'll be hearing more of Jeff and Marsha's story. Today, Marsha will share her side of the story, how she felt knowing about Jeff's pornography addiction, how it affected their marriage, and how she felt when he lost his job as a pastor when his secret sin came to light.
I didn't understand the strong pull of pornography. I really thought it was just a matter of willpower. The thought that kept going through my mind is, he's ruined your life. He's ruined your life. And I was, you know, devastated inside that this was happening to us.
In addition, Marsha will also talk about what Jeff has done to rebuild trust in their marriage and how she has personally grown as a result of this crisis. You won't want to miss today's story on the Covenant Eyes podcast.
Marsha, how did you feel the first time you found out about his addiction?
Well, you know, the first couple times that Jeff had shared with me has struggled with pornography, I certainly didn't think of it as an addiction. I thought of it as a weakness, okay. A weakness I didn't really understand, something I couldn't fathom, because I knew that he was in God's Word. I knew that he was a godly husband. I just couldn't wrap my arms around how he could let himself look at those things and go to those sites. It was very disappointing to me, and just something I kind of chalked up to him being a guy, and kind of left it at that. After he had mentioned it later on in our marriage that it was still a problem, I started to wonder, should we be in ministry? It didn't seem
sure.
It didn't seem right that he would continue to look at pornography and pastor. And I had shared that with him, that I felt like he should step out of ministry. And he had gone into counseling, and the counselor had shared with me that it's something that Jeff could find victory over, and it wasn't necessary at this point for him to just step out of ministry. And then at that point, Jeff, knowing that if it happened again, that I would insist that we step out of ministry, Jeff really just started to hide everything from me, and really started to kind of live this secret life that I had no idea about.
Wow.
So when he shared with me the intervention, I couldn't believe he would risk it all. You know, I didn't understand the strong pull of pornography. I really thought it was just a matter of willpower.
So that day, the confrontation at his church, what was going through your mind? He came home, he's confessing all this to you.
Just sitting in our kitchen, he told me about it, and I knew that, you know, our world had just fallen apart. And I was very angry that he would risk it. The thought that kept going through my mind is, he's ruined your life. He's ruined your life. I pretty much didn't deal with the feelings. In the beginning, I just kind of went into
crisis mode. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you must have wanted to talk to somebody about your struggle, about the emotions you were feeling amidst all this craziness. Did you ever really, before you moved, did you ever really get a chance to kind of bare your soul, unburden your soul a little bit to people around you? Did anyone come to your aid?
I did. Jeff really encouraged me to, because it was awful to try and have to go to work and act like everything was okay. And it was very hard to be strong for my kids and just to try and not let this disrupt us any more than it already was. So I felt like I was having to hold a lot in, and I was, you know, devastated inside that this was happening to us. And I spoke with a friend, and then there was another friend that I was able to kind of be very specific with and say, you know, this is what I need from you. I need you to call me every day and check on me and see how I'm doing. I just needed someone to walk through it with me, because we felt very much alone. We actually did start counseling within days of Jeff sharing with me what had happened. So we were talking with counselors, but it was pretty much a counselor and one friend that knew what I was going through.
And that's so important, especially for men, women, whoever, if your life's been racked by this kind of problem, to be able to bear your soul to someone, and then also for them to be able to really enter your pain with you and come alongside of you. It's great.
I can't stress enough how important it is for a Christian woman to come into a wife's life and just speak truth. You know, that was the biggest thing I think that we missed out on, is just the love of the body of Christ. That's the main incentive behind our website and our podcast, is to be able to let people know that, number one, they're not alone. Number two, it's not hopeless. And number three, that they're not unlovable, and that they would feel the love of other people who've been there.
As you've been going through this, now you've been in counseling and different group settings where you've been able to talk about these things more, and it's been coming up on 2 years now since the bomb was initially dropped. And I'm assuming in those 2 years you've learned a lot. You've learned a lot about yourself. You've learned a lot about Jeff. You've learned a lot about God.
Right.
What have you learned about Jeff's addiction that has really helped you cope with this whole thing?
Well, I think one of the things that I learned early on that was interesting to me and kind of helped me understand why he would risk it is that there were some chemical things going on because of this addiction. Jeff had pretty much cut a channel through his brain right to that pleasure center. So when he started to get stressed or tired, you know, his brain was almost one step ahead. That doesn't make him less responsible for his actions, but at least it helped me understand why he couldn't just, you know, stop it.
Right.
And then as I got to understand, you know, how the underlying issues of loneliness and stress, how that played a part in Jeff's life, and how pornography was really just kind of a way to medicate that, and it was a way that was working for him, and so he kept going back to that. That's something that I didn't know before, and so made it at least a little bit easier to understand why he was making these choices. And then at some point, I realized that even though Jeff was struggling with addiction and it wasn't my fault that he was seeking out pornography, that our marriage was unhealthy. And it wasn't just the addiction. There was other parts of our marriage that were unhealthy, and that we needed to work on our marriage together, and we needed to treat the addiction as our marriage problem versus me making Jeff, you know, the enemy and, you know, just kind of putting it all on him. So there were, you know, changes that I needed to make. And, you know, you can't tell a wife that to begin with. And you need her, she needs to know that it's not her fault. It's not really about her. But at some point, that wife is ready to hear that there's changes that she can make. You know, the group that I go to for spouses of sex addicts, we don't talk about our husbands. We don't talk about the sex addiction very much. We talk about ourselves, who we are in God, how can we be a reflection of Christ in our marriage. There's certainly things that as a spouse that I have changed for the better. Jeff and I kind of talk about, we don't really know what we knew about marriage before all this. We talk about being in preschool marriage. We've learned so much in the last 2 years about intimacy, communicating, being there for one another, supporting one another, and what all that means.
Yeah, I noticed that on your blog, you made mention of this, and I think it really bears repeating here, that this whole one flesh concept that the Bible talks about regarding marriage, that this really took on a whole new meaning for you because of
this. And that concept came pretty early after I found out. I was angry, and I was saying, God, why do I have to suffer for his sin? Why, you know, I'm losing everything, and I didn't even do anything wrong. And immediately that idea of one flesh came to my mind, and I think God was just speaking that truth that we are one flesh, and our decisions impact one another, and our sins impact one another, and I was not to separate myself from this one flesh, that we were going to work on it together. So,
and obviously at first you didn't you didn't see that you really had a role in Jeff's freedom so much. You were just more or less the victim in the situation. He had ruined your life, and that was sort of the thoughts that were going through your mind. But now you're really in a position where you see yourself as having an integral role in his freedom and also in the health of your marriage. What is that role right now? What are the things you do to help him?
Well, I think the biggest thing I do is make healthy intimacy a priority in my life. And you know, that's something that we're learning how to do through counseling and spending time with one another. And there was a lot of self-discovery for me in this process. And one of the things that I learned is I would, you know, pour myself into ministry and work, and I would get all the accolades, and people would pat me on the back and say, what a good job. I lived for that. And that was just as much of a sinful attitude as Jeff's pornography. Yet in the church, I'm always the one who was getting was the example of the good wife, you know. And Jeff, he's, you know, kind of cast out as being this awful pervert. I kind of made myself my own little god, and pleasing others was the most important thing in my life. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I kind of, with God's help, rearranged in my life.
With this, there was a huge breach of trust. I mean, so much of the addictive problem was its secrecy, and that he kept a lot of things from you. He kept things from his mentors. He kept things from his church. How has he laid down those new planks in your marriage to help to really rebuild trust, to rebuild your trust?
Well, that is a huge issue, and one of the things that Jeff's accountability partner and I decided to do is that we would talk once a month. So his accountability partner calls me once a month. We talk about how Jeff's doing and any concerns we might have and any red flags, and that's helping me rebuild that trust. Another thing is that Jeff is very transparent with me. He just wants to make sure he's not hiding anything. So that is helping me as far as rebuilding the trust. He stays active in his accountability group, and I know that it would be very hard for him to continue to go to those group meetings if he was sliding, because you just can't put yourself in that situation. You would just stop going.
You were saying a couple things really encourage the trust in your marriage. The first being that he has good, reliable accountability other than yourself, and
right.
that he also is accountable to you in some fashion.
Right.
But is there a point where it's just too much to hear? I mean, how explicit does your husband need to be about, I was tempted here, I struggled here, I fell here, I sinned here. How explicit does he need to be before it's like, you know what, I get the gist, thank you for being honest with me?
I think that's different for each wife. And to be honest, and this is something my counselor pointed out recently, it might change day to day for me, you know. For the most part, I just want Jeff to be honest that he has struggled, and I need to know if it was with a magazine or if it was with someone he saw or if it was with the computer. But I don't need to know the details. But some women really, the wives, they really want to know the details, and I think if they want to know, I think that you should share that and be as transparent as possible.
That's great. We run into this question often here on Covenant Eyes, because the guys who install our software, use our accountability software, sometimes it's their wife that gets their accountability report everywhere they've been online. And
sure.
Some women, they call in, they ask for, you know, help with this or that, and one thing leads to another, and before we know it, they've started to unburden their souls to us, saying, I just can't stand getting his accountability report. I just don't want to see this because it's just too much for them to see. And so we tell people, look, sometimes the wife can be the accountability partner, and you know, she can get access to that information and they're okay with it. Sometimes they can't. But more times than not, the man really needs, the husband needs another man to be the most explicit with, to be the most detailed with, because we just simply don't know that many wives who can hear all the gory details and still be okay.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
You've been listening to part 3 of Jeff and Marcia's story. In the next portion, Jeff and Marcia will share the discoveries they have made about attacking the root of sin. They will also talk about the difference the church can make in reaching out to porn addicts and their families. I am your host, Luke Gilkerson, and you've been listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast.